The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It settles in your soul.
Does it settles right in your soul?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Wynn. How you doing, brother?
It's better than I deserve, that's for sure.
Hey, Travis, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. This is Terry Raposa, Wynn Carpenter, and our producer Travis.
Oh yeah.
And we are broadcasting live.
Live.
On KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM. We are also streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This is your talk radio. We are in downtown Reading, broadcasting to you. And we have a couple of announcements we want to make. In conjunction with this program, we've been asked to do something else, and we've decided that we're going to do it. We are going to be working with Mountaintop Media. Their new studio has all the top-of-the-line and state-of-the-art equipment. This equipment will allow and enhance the listener's experience because we will now be able to video stream as well. I don't know if you want to look at Wynn and I, but there'll be other programs.
No, we definitely have a face for radio, so that's not a benefit.
We have call-in capabilities for the live stream, and the shows will be archived, so each episode will have a number to it and available to view after the live cast on YouTube, social media, Facebook, and Instagram. Audio-only streaming platforms, and on the Mountaintop Media website, availability of shows on YouTube and social media will allow them to be shared to a wider audience. Now, Mountaintop Media is the production company that produces Red, White, and Blueprint. Boy, I'm having trouble with my tongue this morning. So the quality will be exceptional. You know, and the listeners will be the first to know about local happenings. The audio version of the show will be available on Apple Podcast as well as Spotify Podcast. So with this particular addition to what we do here at KCNR on Sundays, this is going to give us a broader spectrum, a much, much broader spectrum to deal with. We're pretty excited about it. We were approached, which was nice.
Well, and also, too, we can actually do things as they unroll versus waiting a week. Like if something happened an hour after our show here today or 2 hours after our show here today, we would have to wait for an entire week before we could get information out.
Yeah.
And so that's the beauty of what we're looking at doing, too. We can go cut the video, whatever, and then get it out there. So there are a lot of benefits to that. So that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, the studio is amazing.
Yeah, and there have been some times where we've wanted to do that, and we just weren't able to. We didn't have the access to the process, but now we do.
Anyway, we just had Mark Baird on, and we lost him. I know he's having a lot of problems with fires up there. So, Mark, if you can call back, it'd be great. We're excited about talking to him today. We're going to devote the program to Mark Baird. As most people know, he is the founder of the state of Jefferson, but in addition to that, he's been a pilot for 51 years. He is helping to fight the fires.
What did he start when he was like 8 years old or something?
So, yeah, he was about like 6 years old when he first piloted a plane. Is that right, Mark? Were you 6 or 7 years old?
Closer to 18.
Anyway, Mark, for the folks that are listening, tell them just a little bit about yourself, and then we'd love to hear about the experience and what it's like and what these fires have been like to fight and maybe a little inside look at what it's like when you do have to drop these loads on these fires. So go ahead, my friend. Have at her.
Well, I'm nobody special. I've never done anything big. I'm a Christian, a husband, a father, and a rancher, and a spokesperson for the state of Jefferson.
All those things are big. All those things are big.
That's who I am.
Yep.
Now, my job is pilot, and it always has been. I've been a pilot for 51 years now. I started in the Army in Vietnam. I wasn't a pilot then. I was a machine gunner. I was a little too irresponsible. They wouldn't give me the keys to the plane quite yet. And then I flew different stuff all over the world, and then my retirement job is flying a fire tanker.
So with all the fires going on now and all the different things that happen during a fire, can you give us a little inside look at what it's like to fight those things? Then of course after that we'd love to hear what your take is on all this, on all these fires and what we could do as a state to help prevent these or at least control them better. So anyway, we'd like to hear about the inside stuff. What's it like?
Well, first of all, I'm not a firefighter, and I don't pretend to be. I am a cargo pilot that has a precision method of dropping his load, and that's wherever the lead plane pilot tells me to drop it. So that's how that works. We have a lead plane because our tanker is large enough that we don't do initial attack in that airplane, but. So the Forest Service or CAL FIRE, whoever happens to be responsible for the fire, maps out their plan for the day. Or if it's early in the fire, they kind of come up with an attack plan immediately, and then we follow that plan. But I have to say, just even from my chair, and I've also been on the ground in fires as a patrol officer with the Sheriff's Department. I've participated in evacuations as a patrol officer with the Sheriff's Department, and road guards, road closures, yanking people out of their houses because the fire was about to burn their house down and they don't want to go, and they think they're going to stand there with a garden hose and save everything. And I have to say, the environment within that fire is so devastating and so hot and so smoky that if you think you're going to stand there with a garden hose and put that out, they will find a vaporized hose in your vaporized hand when the fire's over. Because there is, in some instances, like in this Dixie fire and in the McFarland, the Monument fire, the River Complex, and I could go on and on and on, there are parts of that fire that are so hot that you will literally explode into flame, your house explodes into flame, trees explode and vaporize. It's so hot that human beings, once the fire gets a head on, human beings cannot put that out. They just can't. There's no human method. You can't deliver enough water. You can't put enough water in the right spot. You can't put enough retardant in the right place. No one with a Pulaski or a bulldozer is going to stop it. So what they try to do is they find a defensible area where they think we can get a fire line wide enough or strong enough or geographically favorable enough with the winds, the weather, humidity, Haynes Index, potential for rain, whatever the conditions are, and they change from day to day, hour to hour, fire to fire. And believe me, they infrared map these things. They have IR spotters that fly them all night, watching the patterns. They're not ignorant of how these things behave. They, in my opinion, may be ignorant sometimes as to how quick to pour resources on them, and quite frankly, I don't have firsthand knowledge that I'm right about that. Just from an observer's chair, it seems to me like there were a couple of them that if we'd brought more sooner, maybe we could have got a handle on them. And maybe that's not even true. I just don't know that for sure. But then once they come up with a plan, what happens is they try to scratch a wide enough break in the ground with bulldozers, and then they support that break with fire retardant to make the line artificially wider and hope that the fire comes up to the edge of it and runs out of fuel. And otherwise, I'll tell you, the McFarland and Monument and Dixie fire, the only thing that's going to put those out is winter rain. They're going to burn until winter rains come. And you're going to breathe the smoke until winter rains come. Now, here's where we kind of made our mistake. And I'm saying we because the voters did this. We did this to ourselves. we elected a guy like Jerry Brown and a couple of his predecessors who believed genuinely that in order to save the earth, you can't touch a tree. And so over the past 50, 75 years, we've not touched these forests. They're thoroughly overgrown, choked with vegetation, choked with what, this is what we used to call it in Australia when I fought fires down there in the airplane. We call it cow hair forest, where the trees are so close together and they're so spindly because they can't get any light, they can't get any strength, that they burn like putting a match in hair. And that's what's happening here. These forests are so overgrown and so choked with fuel because mechanical thinning was never allowed to happen. You know, the spotted owl, the coho salmon, the fairy shrimp, the siskiyou toad, the yellow-legged toad, the red-legged frog. I could go on and on and on. Everybody out there probably knows it. And so we stopped managing forests. Well, God gave us dominion over the earth. And you have to intervene in these things artificially, or nature will intervene for you. People are really dead set against clear cuts, but clear cuts mimic fire. And they create defensible space. They create places where fire can't just rip through the countryside because they get to a clearing. And when you have sufficient numbers of clear cuts and you have sufficient forest thinning along the way so that the tree spacing is at is correct, the trees are big enough and strong enough to resist the fire, and the flame height is low enough, you don't get these fires that burn so hot they turn topsoil into volcanic glass. And that's what we have right now. Northern California is on fire. I personally believe somewhat it's an agenda by the political party that's had absolute sway over our state. And, you know, just thoroughly present the idea that, you know, really you don't belong in the country. You belong in a high-rise in the city because, you know, we can defend you there. We can take care of you there. We can give you more things there. And out in that big, dangerous forest, well, you know, we just might not be able to help you because it's more important to save the planet than it is to save you. And it is to save your economy, and it is to save your county, and it is to save your way of life, even though that way of life produces the food, fiber, and fuel that the rest of these idiots need to live. And they think they don't need us, but I suggest that every one of you that lives in the city, once a day, look at your dinner plate and ask yourself where that stuff comes from. And then when you walk out and close your front door, ask yourself where that wood came from. And when you get in your car and you start it up, ask yourself where that energy came from. And when you put on your shoes, your clothes, your jewelry, ask where the minerals and elements came from that made that stuff. Because they all came from the resource counties that are being burned out of existence through mismanagement and criminal activity by the liars and thieves that run Sacramento. And I'm including Republicans in that because we have made our appeal to many, many Republicans. And they just look at you and go, oh, well, you know, boy, I sure wish I could do something about that. You know, you got my sympathy, like the king and queen of District 1. The Dallies. I don't see them doing anything. I haven't even heard their name since all this started. I mean, so here you go. And you get what you pay for, folks. You got who you voted for. You got a gal who had endorsements by 8 or 9 sheriffs who didn't even know her before that. She's had no record, no experience, no nothing. She does nothing unless her husband tells her to. And she's in charge of your county. And so I just say to you, there is something we can do about it, but if we don't do it, the only people we have to blame is ourselves. So if you want to see whose fault these fires are, go in the bathroom and look in the mirror.
If you have a question for Mark, you can call 605-4567, 605-4567.
I do have a question. Hey, Mark, quick question. Can you tell us what you've heard or what you know? How much of these fires or how many of these fires is involved through arson? Versus, you know, lightning strike or mechanical issues.
Well, I think by and large they're lightning strikes. There was that one guy they arrested, and apparently he was setting fires. I can't say with any certainty at all. I've seen no law enforcement reports. I've seen no arson reports to suggest that he was the author of the main portion of this fire. But the former college professor from the Bay Area was out there lighting fires, and they did arrest him. And I hope he spends the rest of his life in jail because people died, maybe as a result of his actions. But, you know, the the justice system will have to work through that. And I don't have a hell of a lot of hope for that because, I mean, hell, you have a justice system in California that lets illegal alien murderers back on the street. Why would they care about a little arson?
Yeah, exactly. But they'll get you for a traffic ticket.
Yeah,
well, they make money off the traffic ticket.
Amen.
Well, we do have a recall coming up, not only a local recall, but we have a recall of the governor. Do you have any specific thing that you think, if there was like the main thing that we could do to stand against, the main thing we can really do to control these fires, or at least, you know, some way to we can't stop them, but we definitely can have a way in which we can influence how bad they get and that type of thing. And you did name a few things. Can you give us that one particular thing you think would be, if it was the top of the list, what we would do?
Mechanical thinning of the forest. You need softer tree spacing. You need healthy stands management. You need to get rid of the small trees, the dead trees. Once a tree is mature, it starts to die. There are only two conditions a tree can be in, possibly. It's physics. It's either growing or it's dying. So once a tree reaches mature height, remove it and plant new trees. You know, nobody's talking about denuding the forest. I don't want to scare any of you, the environmental kooks out there, but, you know, you need to mechanically thin these forests, and we should have started 100 years. We should have kept it going 100 years ago.
Yeah,
and
right.
In that situation, if we could gain control of how much fuel was in the forest, and quite frankly, it may have gone too far for that. We may be too late for that. Fire will control it because there are only a couple of ways to get fuel off the mountain. You can cut it and haul it out, and you can sequester that carbon forever by building something out of it, or you can let nature get rid of the fuel, and then the carbon that you've spent all this time and you're so afraid of goes right back out in the air, and you're sitting there sucking on it like a cigarette right now.
We do have a caller on the line. Mary, what say you?
Yes, hi.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
What's up?
What's up, Mary?
Okay, my question is for Mark. Mark, I don't want you to jeopardize. I'm going to turn my radio down.
Turn it off, please.
I don't want you to jeopardize your... Turn it off. Got it. I don't want you to jeopardize your job by giving me the answer, but here's my question. Lockheed provides the planes for the spraying. Raytheon provides the liquid to spray. Is any of that matured into a more aggressive... Is it still just the same game, but the people are changing?
Thank you, Mary. What say you, Mark?
I couldn't hear anything she said,
so
you'll have to tell me.
Mary, she's still there?
No, I think he... Did you get that?
I couldn't hear her side of the conversation, so you have to... I couldn't hear you either during that time, so you have to tell me.
I'm not hearing you.
Oh, there
okay.
she is.
Okay, hey, Mary, go ahead and ask your question
ask
again.
Ask it loudly,
okay.
Mary. Ask it loudly.
Okay, very good.
Mary, and please make sure you're...
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, make sure your radio...
My radio's off.
Okay, great, because Mark couldn't hear you, hon. It's not your fault. Sometimes the phone
That's
systems...
Okay.
But go right
That's
ahead
okay.
and ask the
I
question
didn't want
again.
Mark to jeopardize. I don't want Mark to jeopardize his position, but I wanted the answer. I knew Lockheed was providing the planes, and Raytheon was providing the juice for the spraying. And I'm wondering if that matured into something else or changed into something else.
I don't have any idea or frame of reference to make a judgment on that, so I don't really know what you mean.
Did you hear
it? And the answer was you don't. Yeah, no, you don't
I really don't know.
I don't
know what you're referring to, so I don't.
The spraying, the daily spraying of the spraying for whatever it's for, whether it's for defense or whether it's for the sun or whatever, the spraying.
Well, I think they're two different things, really, you're talking about. Thank you, Mary. Yeah, I kind of got where she's going to. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, I have to say that in my experience of almost 25,000 hours of flying all over the world in lots of different kinds of airplanes for lots of different governments doing lots of different jobs, I've never had any exposure to nor any experience with nor come across anyone who's had any experience with or any knowledge of anybody spraying stuff out of an airplane, with the exception of crop dusting and cloud seeding type stuff, and those are usually, or mosquito spraying, those are usually pretty small-time deals. But on a larger scale, I don't know anything about it, so I'm really not qualified to comment on it.
Hey, Mark, I know you've been involved with water up in Siskiyou County. Yeah. How does letting these forests burn until they are annihilated affect our watershed versus doing the mechanical thinning that you were talking about? How would our watershed improve with the mechanical thinning versus the complete annihilation and burn?
Well, let's just take an average irrigation ditch. Trees drink 1 cubic foot per second of water every mile of irrigation ditch that I have. I've got 5 miles of ditch, so I lose most of my water to the trees drinking the water right out of the ditch as it tries to get to my ranch. So that mechanical thinning is definitely improves watersheds. They're finally starting to discover that in Southern California because Metropolitan Water did an experiment where they did some thinning down in the southern sequoias, and oh my goodness, all of a sudden the watershed started producing more water. Now obviously, when you burn the watershed to the ground, which is what's happening here, now you have sediment and you got earth moving in places where you don't want to, and that not only has a negative impact on the wildlife that used to live there and can't survive there anymore, and by the way, spotted owls have to have something to eat, so they're gone. And it hurts fish and it hurts the watershed by clogging it up with sediment and everything else. So, look, mechanical thinning is the obvious answer, but this isn't anything they don't know at the state. They know all that. They're not. It's not that I'm smarter than the rest of the world. They're not stupid people. They're just evil. And they have an agenda, and that agenda is money, power, and control. And that's what they get from you when they burn you out and destroy your economy and destroy your county and destroy your community because you can't afford to stay there. And just look at what happened in Chester or in Greenville and Paradise. It might happen to Paradise again if that fire backs down the hill anymore. I mean, look what happens. You move. You leave. You're done. Your business is closed. And all of a sudden, there are these vast open spaces where they can create their little socialist paradise and throw the keys to whoever gets the most money for running it. And you look at Siskiyou County. The state of California entered into an unconstitutional, by Article 1, agreement with the state of Oregon and utilized a private company filled with ex-California Department of Resources people as their management, and they're going to tear out 4 fully functional, perfectly maintained hydroelectric dams on the Klamath River, even though the people of Siskiyou County voted 80% overwhelmingly not to do that. It's going to remove the cleanest, cheapest energy on the planet, hydro, because you only need gravity for hydro, and it works when the sun doesn't shine. And they're going to remove the water that we could have been using to put out catastrophic wildfires, kill a warm water fishery, devastate the community, destroy the lives of all the people that live around the lake, all those lakes. And if you doubt that, look at Lake Red Bluff. All those people's wells are going dry. That was in the name of the fish. They eliminated that silly, stupid little lake that so many people got so much benefit and enjoyment out of to save a few fish and devastated the people that live around it. And that's going to happen on an apocalyptic scale in the Klamath Basin, not to mention letting 200 million cubic yards of potentially toxic sediment from high nitrogen runoff up in the upper Klamath Basin go down the Klamath River, and by their own paperwork, it's going to kill all the fish in the river maybe for the next 100 years. But we're saving the environment. No, here's what they're doing. They're getting $4.5 billion to fund ecological savior.
Mark, we have 1 minute to the break, Mark. What's that?
I'm done. I'm
no, we want to hear. We want you to finish. So, can we let him finish on that? Okay, go ahead and finish your thought. And we have Norm hanging on. So,
they're going to fill the river maybe for the next 100 years, all in the name of saving the fish.
Right now, Norm, do you have a quick question? Norm?
Yes.
Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I have not a question. I got a statement I'd like to say to Mark.
Okay. Okay, because you got about 30 seconds.
Okay, that's all it's going to take me.
Go ahead.
Hey, Mark, for the last 25 years, me and a whole lot of people like me have been complaining about what's going on in the forest. But them idiots that they get to run them things, even the Forest Service do the same thing. They don't believe any of us. All they want to do is have power. And we're just nothing but stupid people out there complaining about things that can't be helped. Well, they can be helped because now we see what they have caused. And they've put everybody in the country at disadvantage and probably some of them at death.
Thank you, Norm. Appreciate that, brother. Mark?
Let me say one thing to Norm as you go to break.
Okay.
Norm, there, in my studies in criminal justice, I found that there are only three causes for all crimes: sex, money, power. And you look at any one of those three things, you're going to find the reason that they're doing all of it, and that is no different here at the state level with the liars and crooks that own you and own this state.
We might have you elaborate on that a bit. And so, Mark, stay with us. Our guest is Mark Baird. We're going off to our break. Time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligation. Drop in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Dropin.mobi. That's dropin.mobi. Join the Cult 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series every Thursday night starting at 8 p.m. at Tiger Field. Through the end of August, enjoy live music with a different band each week. Find the lineup of performers online at ReadingCult45s.com. Tickets are only $5. Come enjoy food, beverages, and dancing at the Cult 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series at Tiger Field at 1000 West Cypress Avenue. See you there!
What a great song.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Travis. Was that Sally?
That was always Sally.
Good job, Sal. Anyway, I want to bring up what we brought up at the beginning of the program, that is that both Jefferson State of Mind and Sovereign Minds will also have another venue in addition to what we do here on Sundays. We're going to be working with Mountaintop Media. They've invited us to come in, and we're pretty excited about it. The new studio has all the top-of-the-line and state-of-the-art equipment. It's amazing. So the equipment will allow us to enhance the listener's experience because you'll now be able to see a video that could be good or bad depending on who you're looking at. And we have call-in capabilities for live stream. The shows will be archived and available to view after the live cast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and audio-only platforms and on the Mountaintop Media website. Availability of the shows on YouTube and social media will allow them to be shared to a wider audience. So as Wynn was saying, if we don't bring up something here on Sunday, we get to an audience that we could, of thousands and thousands of people we couldn't reach. Mountaintop Media, in case you didn't know, is the production company that produces the Red, White, Blueprint. And if you haven't seen episode 5, you need to watch it. In fact, to anybody out there, if you have episode 5, every board of supervisors in the state of California needs to watch that. I know that Butte County has sent it to theirs, et cetera, et cetera. If someone would forward those to, when you get this, share this particular episode. The quality is going to be exceptional, and the listeners will be able to know firsthand what's going on in local happenings. Audio only of this version will be on Apple Podcast and also Spotify. So we're pretty excited about this. Both our program and Sovereign Minds will be working with these folks. And again, if they're we're excited. They're great people. They're great friends. And the enhancement of what we can do and where a message can get to is going to be amazing. So with that, we can get back to our guest, Mark Baird. And Mark, the second subject we wanted to ask you about, you have a Second Amendment case, which is going to help all of us protect our Second Amendment right. If you would give us a background on that, it'd be great, sir. Go right ahead.
Sure. Let me just close up the fire thing. I just texted Wynn a picture of just the really minor slice of all the pot farms out in the Monument traffic area. And he should have that any second. But,
I do.
And every one of them have 50 propane cans, 50 cans of gasoline, drums of chemicals you can't even pronounce, and they're dumping their garbage in local streams and rivers. So, you know, here you are saving the world for posterity, but you're allowing people who are absolute criminals to occupy your forests with impunity and not even trying to do anything about it.
Well,
so
then,
ask yourself, is something wrong with this picture?
Well, then, rather than going into the Second Amendment case at this time, since we've got you for the rest of the program, would you like to go into how Siskiyou County has fought against the illegal grows and how they've eradicated some of these? You want to go into that? And since you kind of went that way anyway, you want to go into that subject for us?
Yeah, sure. We had, and by the way, the lava fire what burned right through one of the major pot-growing areas in Siskiyou County, and myself and the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Posse were participating. We were standing by for animal rescue and evacuation and so on. And then we spent a couple of days in there in the aftermath of the fire looking for dead bodies in all the pot gardens because the pot growers were doing what we call emergency harvest, where they just take a machete and they try to whack down as many plants as they can and stuff them in the back of their car. But they leave their dog chained to a tree, and then they run for it, you know. And so these pot gardens are not good things. Our new sheriff, has been making a really tremendous attempt to try to get on top of this. And I don't know if he can. I mean, nothing was done for so long, or minimal efforts were made for so long, that now there are probably 10,000 of them out there. And every single one of those guys, that fire was so dangerous because every single one of those guys has 50 cans of gasoline, cans of diesel, 50 propane cans because they grow 12 months a year and all they have to do is use grow lights that they use with fuel generators and heaters, which they fuel with propane. And these propane cans are blowing up and the gas cans are going off and contributing to the fire. And it was absolutely Here's a word I could use to describe that, and I was there. It was a hellish nightmare inside that fire. And I mean, that burned so hot that literally the wheels on cars were puddles of metal running off down the hill. The trailers were one to 2 inches tall after they melted to the ground and just destroyed themselves. And vast stretches of territory were absolutely decimated through that. And these pot growers, guess what? They were mad because the sheriff was asking them to evacuate. In fact, there was a shooting because some guy tried to run the roadblock with his wife and kids in the car behind him to get back in so he could harvest his pot and get some of his money out.
Oh, man.
And this pot business, by the way, is because I've been confronted by people where they say, oh, you just hate marijuana. And I say, look, what's your defense of this industry? And here's what it boils down to, greed. Their only defense of the pot industry is greed. And my defense is immoral, unlawful, illegal. It's poisoning our society, poisoning our children. You don't know what's on the stuff when you're smoking it. There could be fentanyl. It's contributing to drug addiction, child abuse, spousal abuse, and every other social malady we have can eventually be traced back to this illegal drug trade. It's being run by cartels and gang members who murder people and kidnap people and engage in human trafficking. And I've seen all of this firsthand, by the way. This isn't something I'm just inventing. I've seen all of this. I've met human slaves in these pot gardens, people who are forced to work or they don't get fed. So if you think your marijuana is medicinal, then put a pot in your backyard and grow a plant. But this isn't medicinal. It is greed, it's money, it's power. It's power given to gangs and criminal cartels. Oh, and by the way, it's taking over your county right now, just like it has mine. And we're fighting what may be a losing battle up here to try to preserve our way of life. And then you have your fine, upstanding businessmen who are selling them water, selling them a drip irrigation tube, selling them topsoil and fertilizer and all the little stuff, sheets of plastic and metal bows to build their greenhouses. And they're all on board. And what's their reason? Oh, wait a minute. Let's get back to it. Greed.
Well, you know.
So you can lose your county to that, but we're trying not to. And we've had several successful drug operations during which the sheriff's department has wisely allowed now the people that helped in these, by the way, are vetted and background checked. This isn't just any Johnny come lately shows up. Everyone that participated in this had a background check done on them. So we had volunteers from Shasta County that helped us with two major counter drug operations that were very, very successful, and your sheriff could do the same thing. And if he wants to listen, I'd be happy to tell him how.
Well, you know, I'd like to interject there when you talk about the sheriff. We started out with Tom Basinko, then he retired. Then we got Eric Magrini, who resigned because of a vote of no confidence by the
sheriff. So you had Idaho Tom and Magrini.
Not done yet. We're on number three.
Yeah.
We're on number three now. Now we have Mike Johnson, and Mike is the police chief of Anderson. Now, I know him, and he's a... he's a good guy. He's a good cop, and he has a lot of people that are that do stand behind him. Haven't heard too many bad things about him. You always hope that a man could keep his integrity and not be compromised by some of the things that the county does that you could say are highly irregular or, dare I say, illegal. But he's the third one so far, and he's now been appointed. I think we've set the record now. I don't think anybody else has had three sheriffs in one term. But,
look, I'm not a fan of appointed sheriffs, but about 28 counties in California have one, 30,
yeah,
because they've gotten into this deal where the sheriff gets elected, and then he hands the reins over to the county supervisors because he bails 2 years before his term's over so that they can handpick the next guy, and then he's going to get elected because he's the incumbent. Now, I'm not saying you can't get a good guy. Our interview process was public. It was very thorough.
Right.
Our county appointed the sheriff, which they have apparently the right to do, or they have not the right, because governments don't have rights. They had the authority to do, and we're lucky, because Sheriff LaRue is a good man, and he's a good cop. He was one of my field training officers. I've known him for a long time. and he's doing a good job. We got lucky. But election is the way to get a sheriff, and I hope your new sheriff does a good job. And like I said, if he's interested in learning how to use civilians successfully and carefully to try to get a handle on these drug grows, I'd be happy to come and talk to him. But someone has to call me and tell me that's okay. I'm not just going to hoist myself in the process. Not my job.
Okay. Well, Shasta County is now number one. We have more grows than illegal grows than Humboldt County. And the other thing is that I wanted to bring up about this is the fact that our former sheriff really didn't do anything. In fact, either one of the former sheriffs really did anything. And there's a lot of speculation. If you watch episode 5 of the Red, White, and Blueprint, the last segment of episode 5 of the Red, White, and Blueprint, you'll hear that there is a witness whose voice is disguised for protection and on different things, and that particular person brings up a lot of what you're talking about, Mark. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up about the illegal grows was the fact that you mentioned that the people who were there from Shasta County and everywhere else were background checked. I think that's a very, very, very important point. I think that those people who went and did that, we all owe them a thanks. In every county, we owe you a thanks. We owe your sheriff a thanks. And, yes, Mike Johnson, if you're listening, you know, I know that, you know, we're hoping and believing your heart's in the right place. We're hoping and believing you are who we think you are. And we're hoping and believing that you'll get with people like Sheriff LaRue and get with them and say, hey, how can we unite and get together and do this? So, Mark.
Well, you know, one thing mm-hmm. that you do, one thing you can do is the announcement's made publicly. We have reconstituted the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Posse, which is a service organization. And we serve at the pleasure of the sheriff. We assist with animal rescues. The guys just patrolled the Siskiyou County Fairgrounds last night to prevent car birds and, you know, bad things happening in the parking lot. We assist with other any other operation the sheriff deems necessary. And you know, we're civilians, but we're vetted and background checked. You have to, you know, you have to submit a lot of information. It's not something that you just show up on the corner and say, you know, and say, count me in. But it's a tremendous opportunity for civilians to participate in the governmental process. And let me tell you, most people would have their eyes open. And the more we have civilian participation in local government, whether that's law enforcement or municipal government or, hell, I don't care, picking up trash in the park. Now, all of a sudden, you have a vested interest and you see firsthand what your county government is up to, and you're in a position to affect the process. When you just sit home and do nothing, then nothing, oddly enough, gets done. So I have a tremendous amount of respect and regard for the people who volunteered and from Shasta County and Siskiyou County. And, you know, we had equipment operators volunteer, truck drivers volunteer. They never went anywhere near the grows, but they were driving trucks to and from. So it's, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity for people to participate in government. And that's something that should not be overlooked. And like I said, if the sheriff wants to know more, I know how to get him the information.
You know, as you mentioned, the people participating, I know that for us, it's been, we had to go to the extreme. We tried everything. We tried reason. We tried everything before we went to a recall. And at this point now, I mean, this is beyond anything we could ever imagine. I mean, everything from the masking of our kids to the medical industry. We had a big rally here in front of Mercy Medical last Monday. You know, I mean, making it mandatory that these people take this vaccine that, you know, that isn't a vaccine, that they're forced to do it to keep their employment, the unconstitutionality of that. I mean, the choice is up to them. Choice of a mask is up to the people. The point is that, as you say, the unconstitutionality of all these things, you know, the illegal part of all these things. And it's nice to hear, you know, it's nice to hear whether you agree with Mark on what he said here today or not. He's spot on when it comes to his facts. He's spot on when it comes to what he's come to, his conclusion, because his conclusion is based upon data and facts. when it comes to all these different things. Mark, very briefly now, we got about 10 minutes to go. Do you want to talk a little bit about your Second Amendment case you have and tell the folks what that is?
Yeah, sure. I'm suing the state of California to strike the provisions from the penal code 25850, 26350, and 26150 and 155 from the penal code. Those are the codes that either cause you to have to ask government permission to hide a gun on you or be allowed to open carry, and it is your right to open carry.
Mark, can you speak up a little? We're not, yeah. Okay, speak up. Okay. Go ahead.
So, can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, maybe okay. A little bit louder. Go ahead.
So, those 25850, 26350, 26150, and 26155, the latter two are the two penal code provisions that cause you to have to beg the government for permission to hide a gun on you when you go outside. And then 25850 and 26350 are provisions in the penal code that would cause you to be arrested for exercising your constitutional guarantee to be publicly armed and with open carry. So in California, there is no Second Amendment. It was taken from you, and no one, by the way, said a word, including the NRA. In fact, the NRA helped the government do that with that champion of liberty that everyone likes to talk about, Ronald Reagan. And so you have no ability to carry a weapon in California outside your home unless you beg permission from someone who may give it to you and may not, and from someone who may give it to you and then 2 weeks later take it away from you just because he doesn't like you anymore. That's what we're suing them for, and the case is called Bonta v. Baird, or Baird v. Bonta, whatever, however you say it. And we have a judge who is a coward and a Democratic operative. We have just appealed the preliminary injunction, citing constitutional grounds, and one of the interesting things was our attorney told the judge, you are bound by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has testified in Heller versus in the Heller case and in the Sitano case and in the Wren case that carrying a weapon openly outside the home is a constitutional guarantee, and you're bound by that. And the judge said, that's a horrifying statement. You mean to tell me that I'm bound by the Supreme Court instead of what the Ninth Circuit tells me? And our attorney said, yes, Your Honor, that's exactly what I mean. And she said, I find that statement very careless and dangerous to suggest that the Supreme Court is the superior court for the United States. Now, oddly enough, Article 3 of the United States Constitution says that all justice shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and then I believe it's Section 2 says, and other inferior courts established by Congress. That would be your district courts and circuit courts and appellate courts. So, yes, the Supreme Court is the superior court for all cases arising in equity and law under the Constitution. In other words, the Supreme Court has no extra constitutional authority. All decisions arise under the Constitution. And so this judge denies that, but we're now waiting for that latest opinion. I have a deposition hearing coming up at the end of August sometime, and I've got to, you know, answer questions that the state's going to ask me, like, why do you want to carry a gun? You know, stupid stuff like that, because they've already admitted that everything we allege is true. The state of California has said they have given all authority to sheriffs and police chiefs to decide who may or may not carry in the state of California. Well, read your Second Amendment. I don't see where it says any government official has the ability to tell you whether you can exercise the Second Amendment or not, but California admits that they've given the authority to elected state officials with no right of appeal. And if that doesn't horrify you, mm-hmm. then you better take a look in the mirror, because you're not thinking right.
Folks, you know, what Mark is doing is amazing. He's been doing this on his own. And if you'd like to help him with this very, very important Second Amendment case, you can write a check out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And in the memo part, you put 2A donation, Second Amendment or 2A. In the memo part. If you don't put it there, it won't go to his case. Remember, make it out to Pecan. It is tax deductible if you make out a donation to Pecan. The address is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Redding, California, 96003. Again, make your checkout to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. Put in the memo part, Second Amendment. The address is 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Redding, California, 96003. Well, my friend, we have about 4 minutes to go here. What would you like to wrap it up with?
Well, I would like to reiterate to people that, look, if you're not going to help protect the Second Amendment, how do you think you're going to protect the First, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth, and so on? And you won't have a hope of it, because if the government right now is not afraid of you, I mean, just look what they're doing in your own county.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what you think, and they don't care what you want,
mm-hmm.
and you can't make them care because you don't have representation. The only answer to this, really, in the long run, yeah, I'm trying to protect the Second Amendment. I'd do that no matter where I live. But the only answer to this long term, because the state of California is so dysfunctional, so malformed, so mal-managed, so poorly managed and criminally managed, there is only one answer for us folks, and that is to break this state in half or thirds or I don't care what, so that we can have smaller districts where the representation is answerable to the voters, not what we have now, where Brian Daly and his wife, 1 million people per state senator for Brian Daly and 500,000 for his wife, and they sit over the dinner table and they decide what course your life's going to take. Well, if we had one representative for 5,000 people, they'd be afraid of how you vote every single time, and a sheriff's endorsement wouldn't be enough for them. They'd have to perform. And if they don't perform, you can get rid of them, and it would be cheap and easy to do it. And just think, if you had one county supervisor for every 10,000 people, I'll bet you they would govern differently, because they'd be afraid of how you might vote the next time, and it would be cheap and easy to get rid of a bum if you accidentally elected him. The state of Jefferson, ultimately, is the only way that we're going to get out of the mess that we've created for ourselves by not paying attention. And this is our own fault. Don't make any mistake. We did this to ourselves, and we're the only ones that can fix it.
And, Mark, you're absolutely right. The apportionment in California is impossible. One senator for every million, one assembly person for every 500,000. It's impossible for them to do their jobs. You're absolutely right. The other caveat to that is that we have to make sure that we hold them accountable and that they're accountable to the same laws that we are, that they're not exempt from 32 or 33 laws that we or have special privilege that we don't have as citizens. Remember, they're our employees.
Well, when you get a king, don't be surprised.
Exactly.
When you act like one.
Exactly. Especially if you let it happen. Again, it's something we said forever, and that is, you know, well, how can they do this? Well, because we let them.
Well, look at Leonard Modi.
Exactly.
Got a king, and don't be surprised when he acts like one, and the subjects can do this and that, but I can do anything I want because it's good to be king.
Well, Mark, we've got about a minute left, but the one thing I do want to do is see if we can maybe broaden this out now that we have this new addition to what we're doing here, a great thing with this, with these podcasts and everything else we're going to be doing with Mountaintop Media. We'd like to have you on it. We need to get you in there live because we want to live stream it, of course, like we would anyway, and talk more about this. Maybe take these three subjects and break them down. And again, folks, the Red, White, and Blueprint episode 5. If you haven't seen any of them and you want to start there, knock yourself out. And if you have watched it, share it. The only way we get information out is to share it. Share this program today. Share this program that Mark Baird has given us a tremendous amount of information. There's been a wealth of knowledge here. There's been three subjects that have been covered, and they've been covered with fact. They've been covered with someone who is, I would say, an expert in a lot of these particular areas. So with that, my good friend, I want to thank you for being on. And want to get you on a podcast here as soon as we can. Would you be okay with that?
Sure.
Okay, great. Got about 30 seconds, brother. Anything?
Yeah, I got one more thing to say. We have an opportunity here with this recall election to get Gavin Newsom's Nancy's nephew out of office, and that is whoever you want to replace him, get a commitment from that guy that in exchange for your help and your vote, he'll help us break this state in half.
Sounds great, my good friend. Okay, you've heard Mark Baird. Remember, time has come for 51. Let's get it done.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.